Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 24th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you doing, Brian?
Splendidly, sir. Splendidly.
Awesome. I wouldn't have it any other way. And Dave Hamilton, I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing great. And thanks to both of you for being here today. I'm glad to have you guys. I'm also glad that Harry's is our sponsor this week. They're the awesome razor company. We'll talk about them soon. Before we get into the exciting world of shaving, though, I wanted to take a look at a piece that you wrote, Brian, yesterday, because I have a feeling there's probably plenty for us to toss around in this. And this is the news that that Nest thermostats are not going to be in Apple stores, at least for a while. And anyhow, fill us in on that.
Well, Nest thermostats left the Apple store, and they've, of course, been in the Apple store from the beginning. This is before Google bought Nest and Tony Fadell. And they have been taken out of the Apple stores, but Nest called Apple a value partner and said that new products would be coming, I think, in the coming weeks, I think is the wording they used.
I think that's right.
And there you have it.
That's a big deal. I think, the fact that Nest is coming out with new products in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what they're coming out with. And I'm wondering if this is enough to keep some people from buying a smart thermostat while they wait to see what Nest rolls out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right time of year to roll something out, at least in the, in the Northern Hemisphere, before we get into what's probably the most common thermostat buying season, which is, pre-winter as we kind of head in and everybody tries to figure out what it is they're going to do. And frankly, I've talked about this on Geek Gab quite a bit as we've reviewed both the Nest and the Ecobee, which is one of the better Wi-Fi connected smart thermostats, if you will. And Nest is, frankly, it makes me scratch my head. I mean, it doesn't. I understand why they succeeded, but Nest is built for a very, very small area of the country. And I say that because their whole focus is we know you don't know how to program your thermostat. That's the assumption that Nest was built upon. And so we make it so that your thermostat is smart without you having to know how to program it. And that makes perfect sense if you live somewhere like, for example, the Bay Area of San Francisco, where it's a fairly moderate climate. You're not using air conditioning necessarily all summer long. You're not using heat all winter long. You've got this sort of mild thing going on, which is one of the beautiful things about the Bay Area, as I'm sure you could tell us. And you do tell us, Brian, all winter long.
Yep.
But when you live somewhere where you actually have like cold in the winter and hot and humid in the summer, but especially the cold in the winter, the assumption that people don't know how to use their programmable thermostats is insane. And the reason it's insane is because it's just wrong. Every single person I've talked to in my area here absolutely knows how to program the thermostat. In fact, it's often the type of discussion that comes up at, neighborhood friend gathering kind of things. It's, I know how to fix my lawnmower, and I know how to program my thermostat. And everybody has their own ideas about it and all that stuff. But the thing is, you have to have a good working knowledge of how your house processes heat. Otherwise, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars a year. And I get that that's part of Nest's sales pitch, but the concept that we are morons is stupid. Now, the Ecobee, on the other hand, is built by people in Toronto, right? So they know that we know how to manage our thermostats, but they also know that, like with the Nest, we want some of these other intelligent features. Like, yeah, look, I know that most of the time I want my heat to work this way, but hey, if I'm not around during this period of the day, it's actually cool to turn it off. And if I am around when I'm not supposed to be, it's actually cool to turn it on. But doing that kind of thing with the Nest is possible, but a disaster. You have to learn that things with weird labels actually do other functions. For example, and I'll leave it as one so that I don't stay on my soapbox too long, I have a Nest in the studio above me. I'm not in the studio at night. I want the heat to go down to 50 degrees when I'm not there. The Nest will not do that because it says, well, you're home and so you're going to be sleeping at night and we want to keep the temperature up. We don't want you to freeze while you're sleeping. The only way to tell it, the Ecobee just simply asked me, when you're asleep, do you care about the temperature in this zone? Should it not look, should it assume you're there even if it doesn't sense motion? And for where I have my Ecobee, the answer is no, you shouldn't, because I have it on the main floor of my house and that's not where we sleep. And I want the heat to go down to whatever I set it to go down to. And the same is true with the Nest, but the Nest doesn't ask that question directly. It simply has a setting for home or office, and it's buried deeper, home or business, I guess. And if you change it to business, now it goes into this mode where at night it'll let the temperature drop. These are stupid things. You know, so that's a really long way of ranting and saying, hopefully Nest has realized some of this stuff and that their thermostats really aren't built for people in most areas of at least this country and many others. And maybe they're coming out with something new that's fun. And so it actually changes my advice today. My advice today is, my advice yesterday would have been buy an Ecobee. My advice today is, you know what? If you don't need something, wait till the end of August. See what happens.
I think that's probably pretty good advice. And I'm hoping you're right, that whatever right. Nest is coming out with is more flexible and intelligent than what we've had so far. I don't have a big place, but I need more control over the heat and cooling in my place than a Nest gives me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you can dumb down the Nest. I have in the studio. It does absolutely no sensing for me. But you know, I can control it from remote. But it's in like you know, dumb mode. Yeah.
And I don't want dumb mode.
No.
And my guess is that Ecobee and hopefully now Nest realizes that if we're tech savvy enough to go shopping for this type of thermostat, we probably already understand how to program the more simple thermostats we're already using, and that's something that they need to cater to.
Yeah, they need to cater to that. I think the assumption that people that currently buy Nests are tech savvy is probably wrong. In a general sense, I certainly some people that buy Nests are tech savvy, but I think there's a lot of people that just buy the Nest because, oh, look, shiny thermostat, Wi-Fi, awesome.
I would quibble on that, Dave. I would think that it's the echo chamber that is most aware that Nest even exists.
I don't know. They have huge displays in Home Depot, man.
Yeah,
and
that's
have
true.
for like five, however long they've existed, minus 1 year. They really, you know, they're everywhere. I know people that buy them. They're like, oh yeah, we got the Nest. It's cool. I can, you know, turn on my heat when I'm 20 minutes from home.
Which is
cool. Cool. Oh no, that's cool, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I think I'll call it the aftermarket smart home devices, which would be like Nest and Wemo. And just all these different things that have been coming out. Wink. Yep. I think that there's definitely a market for those products outside of our echo chamber. Otherwise, I wouldn't be seeing the big front displays when I walk in the main doors at Home Depot. Yep. I walk in and I see Nest, Ecobee, Wemo, Wink, and Lutron and a couple others. I mean, it's just this big thing. It's the first thing you see when you come in the store.
And the Honeywell Wi-Fi thermostats are, I think, one of, if not the most popular thing, certainly around here in new construction. either you know, brand new homes or additions onto homes. It's the Honeywell stuff because it's much less expensive than the Nest and the Ecobee. I think it's in like the $100 to $150 range, and maybe even less than $100. But it's right in there, so it's, you know, the builders can factor that into their costs without, you know, suddenly turning things into, because the Nest and the Ecobee are expensive. They're, you know, in the $250 range. So.
Yeah.
All right. So why did the idea that that Google is about to come out with some new ones, perhaps new ones that will even support HomeKit, perhaps.
Right. Right.
That's one thing. Why would Apple actually pull them out ahead of that? Why?
Well, maybe it's that their current thermostats, maybe it's because their current thermostats don't support HomeKit, and Apple likes to promote that which Apple promotes, right? And so they can't, you know, if Apple's going to be promoting HomeKit, then all the things that they sell in their stores that go into your home should be HomeKit. I could see Apple making that decision. They haven't said that that's the decision they've made.
But it sounds like an Apple thing.
Yeah, and there was a story that's come out earlier this week. I don't think we did anything on it yet, but that the encryption required by HomeKit for this stuff is massive and requires CPU and memory space that perhaps the Nest simply doesn't have. I don't know that, but certainly we know that the Nest doesn't currently support HomeKit.
Yeah, and the Nest as we have it today is a design that's a few years old now.
That's right. Yeah. So they couldn't have designed with HomeKit, with hardware requirements that accommodated HomeKit when they did it, because no one knew what those were and because it didn't exist. Whereas Ecobee could have, because, you know, Ecobee's been doing this, I think, since 2009, but Ecobee 3. Is, you know, about a year old at this point, maybe just a little shy of that. So newer hardware at the core. It's possible it could be done with a software update on the Nest. I think in our meeting today, Adam Christensen was saying that Elgato had sorted some stuff out along those lines for their stuff, and maybe Nest could adopt that. But it's also possible that Nest's hardware simply doesn't have the ability to do that.
Yeah, which I think is a reasonable assumption, and doesn't mean that Nest is a bad product because of that. It's just, hey.
No, it's a bad product for other reasons.
Yeah,
there just you not go. Because of that. Yeah, you know, I know you want to do the hairy spot, but maybe I'll ask this question. Maybe we can talk about it afterwards. I think you've done a little bit with HomeKit. Is that right, Jeff, or no?
No, I have okay. not. And that's because the Hue lights that I have, Philips hasn't released their HomeKit firmware update yet.
Got it. I'm excited about the possibilities of HomeKit, but the in practice right now, it doesn't really. I mean, I have an Ecobee, and it's like, oh, do you want to turn on HomeKit for it? It's like, well, yeah, okay, but my experience with the Ecobee doesn't change. It's still just as awesome as it was, and if this, then that, and all of my other automation stuff works with it. So I feel like, you know, HomeKit's one of these things where Apple needs to kind of explain to us why it's important and then prove to us that their explanation holds water.
Yeah, for me right now, I don't feel a burning need to use HomeKit because I have and granted, it's a limited collection of home automation devices in my place right now, but everything that I need to do with them is managed through If This Then That, and I typically don't even go into the applications that came with these various devices. So right now, I'm using Wemo Gear and Philips Hue lights. I just set up buttons on my notification center screen on my iPhone, and I'm controlling everything from there. I have a centralized location for controlling all my devices from anywhere in the world. So I'm not seeing where HomeKit today is going to improve my life.
Yeah, I mean, it in theory will be this, you know, Apple made easy UX. I was going to say UI, but it's more than just the interface. It's the whole experience. So the UX. But it, yeah, like you said, our UX right now, it's not terrible, but it's the onboarding process could be made a lot simpler, and perhaps that's where HomeKit will win us all over. Is, you know, that you don't have to stop and think about it. It, you just have these devices, and it says, "Hey, you have these devices. Great, awesome."
Yeah, maybe. But Apple has a bit of a fight to convince me now.
Yeah, they do. It's an uphill battle because it's a solved problem, right? It's not a perfectly solved problem though.
Perfectly solved, but the solution that I've come up with for my needs is pretty darn slick.
Yep. But maybe Apple doesn't care about you. I mean, or me, right? You know, in that regard, maybe it's targeting.
No, they care about my dad.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which for me actually would be great because then he's set up with HomeKit. I don't have to spend so much time trying to troubleshoot his smart home devices remotely for him.
Yeah. Check the freezer.
Yeah. That's a wonderful inside joke that Brian and I have. And we don't have time for me to explain it because I have to talk about Harry's and I want to talk about Harry's. Harry's is the razor company that I've been waxing poetic about all week. I really, honestly, truly do love their razor blades. And the handles that they give you with their razor blades, it's like a really great high quality product that you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to get. I have the Truman kit. It's one of their starter kits. So it's this really nice handle, comes with a few blades, comes with shaving cream or shaving foam gel stuff, and a little protective cover case for your razor when you're traveling, and it comes in a really nice little box. Everything looks slick, and it gets delivered right to your door, so you don't even have to go to the store, and you end up getting really high quality gear for a super low price. The kit that I'm using, the Truman, it's only $15, and yes, I know I can go into the grocery store and get a disposable cartridge system for, you know, relatively cheap, but it's going to be cheap stuff. And then when I go to replace the cartridges for it, that's when I'm going to get gouged, and it's just horrible. And then I'm upset because the cartridges that I get aren't very good quality. And then Harry's came along, and now I have this really fantastic product with blades that hold up really well at prices that no grocery store or drugstore has ever been able to match. And I absolutely love it. So the trimming kit, the one that I have and the one that I think you should get if you don't have Harry's yet, $15. But if you use the special code that they gave me, TDO, you're going to get $5 off. So that means you can get the Truman kit for $10 and it gets delivered to your door, no shipping charges. So it's just $10. That's it. And then when you need new blades, those are really inexpensive also. And they hold up so much better than any other disposable blade I've picked up in a store. I really like this stuff. And I really like how the shave feels too. It's just absolutely awesome. So check them out, please. Go get yourself a Truman kit. Go to their website, harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. And then use the discount code TDO. Pick up your starter kit and start shaving. And then we can both look beautiful together. So Harry's, thank you for being my sponsor this week. All right. We only have a minute or two left. So I wanted to go back and hit some reader comments that we've had. So we don't have much time, so I'll start with what I have, and we'll just see what we can get through. All right. So the first one that I want to hit, this comes from one of our listeners, Michael, and he starts off by saying that he listens to the show daily. Thank you, Michael, because we're doing the show for you. So thank you for listening. And actually, he goes on to say that he loves all of our podcasts, which is awesome. So Matt Geek Gab and Apple Context Machine, he listens to all of our shows. Michael, you rock.
Indeed.
Yeah. Anyhow, He has issues with Apple Music, and he says that Apple Music just stops playing for him, and that that he'll be listening to his own music or one of Apple's own stations or one of Apple's playlists, and when he's on a Wi-Fi network, it just stops. And he, what he's asking is, do we know if this is an intentional timeout that's built into the software, or if there's some issue that happens specifically on a Wi-Fi network? And he's really curious why this is happening. So, are either of you experiencing a problem where Apple Music or iTunes music that you're playing just simply stops?
Well, I'm assuming the issue is related to streaming, so not playing tunes local to the device. Apple Music has had, they've had a rough week with Apple Music, haven't they?
Sure.
But, you know, one of the things that has recurred several times this week is simply an outage where some, but not simultaneously all, people have been simply unable to get Apple Music to start streaming for them. I wonder if that's what's going on with Michael here. It's hard to say. I haven't experienced exactly that, but I also, this particular week, I haven't done a lot of streaming. I've played some music that I've added to my library locally here at my office on my Mac, you know, that's what I call it. But, no, I haven't seen that. So it's an interesting thing. It's one of those things where I would check the console log when it happens to see if it throws any error out there. Console is in applications utilities, and you can just leave it running and look at all messages, and you can even filter all messages, and that filtering happens live. So you could type in iTunes, and it will only show you messages in the past and, of course, in the future as they appear from iTunes to help kind of narrow that down. So that might give you some indication as to why it stopped, or it might not. It depends on whether it's throwing an error or not.
Awesome. I love that advice. Okay. Yeah. We need to wrap up, but real quick, another Michael. It's apparently two, Michael week.
Two different Michaels. That's
two
right.
Different Michaels. Yes. And this Michael has some comments over the whole App Store thing with the potential FTC investigation related to Apple Music and pricing. And what this Michael says is, why are we not getting the Fed involved against Walmart or Target? They make money on the goods they sell in their stores too. When is the last time you ever saw that Walmart said, always the low price, we paid $5 for this and only want $5, the exception being a liquidation of a discounted product? No one yells at Walmart for making the most profit of any chain store or is calling for a federal investigation. Can the App Store be a consignment store? You pay the money on your consigned item when it sells. What do you guys think?
Huh.
Well, it's interesting. I think one of the things, there are a lot of differences between Walmart and the App Store and Apple in general, like a whole bunch of differences. The one of the primary ones being that right now we have Apple making things that are competing with its own with the companies for whom it is acting as a vehicle for selling. And
isn't Walmart doing that too? I mean, if you've got shampoo from Walmart that's Walmart brand shampoo, and then you've got shampoo from whatever, you know, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, isn't that
Walmart make its own products?
Yeah, I think they do. But if they don't, then my grocery store does, right? I mean, it's the concept applies. I get generic stuff from my grocery store all the time.
Yeah, office supply stores.
Yep.
But the difference is that grocery stores don't use the agency model, and neither does Walmart. They buy stuff at a price and then they sell it at a markup.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Fair point. Right, they have already. It's not like Apple says, "I'm going to buy 10,000 copies of your app and then go sell it to our users."
Right,
they're saying, "Right, it's a consignment store."
Yeah.
And Apple doesn't have to pay its, you know, its own share of that 30%.
We don't know that, though. I mean,
if it does, it's still going into the same pot.
Right. But I mean, a chunk of that 30% goes to all the costs associated with the App Store, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Include mm-hmm. bandwidth and
credit card
personnel.
What's that? And credit card transactions.
Yeah, and the credit card transactions. That's right. So, I mean, they are incurring costs that make up some of that 30%.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the part of it.
Yeah.
But it's only a part of it. It's still for something like the streaming services, Apple is definitely at a massive competitive advantage to these other companies that can't make any money anyway.
Well, it's sort of. I mean, Apple is not telling Spotify that they have to charge people via the in-app purchase model. It's simply an option. So you can, you know, and of course Spotify charges the user more if you're going to do it that way.
Hence the competitive advantage. I know that Jeff's going to start yelling at us. Are you seriously going to argue with me that Apple not having to pay that 30% off the top isn't a competitive advantage?
It's a competitive advantage, but I don't see it as – but no one's forcing them to do it this way. In fact, Apple supports the people paying outside of the store. So, I mean, it's totally a competitive advantage, but I don't think it's one that the Fed needs to get involved in.
Probably not. Yeah, if Apple has the right to do this, then the Fed doesn't. I mean, that's the
right
thing. It's pretty cut and dry.
It's very cut and dry. Yeah. No, it's definitely an advantage. It's a good one, but it's not a mandatory one. You know, I can sign up for Spotify anywhere I want and pay them directly, or I can sign up through the App Store, you know, through in-app purchase if I want the convenience of that and I want to pay an extra $3 a month.
Yeah. In that sense, it would be kind of like when you buy tickets for a show and you go to the website instead of going to the theater and you pay a convenience fee.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, it was like foreshadowing. You knew that I was going to say we have to wrap up, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we do. We are out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
You betcha.
And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Call me Nostradamus.
Thank you, Nostradamus, for being here too.
The Fighting Irish.
Yippee-ki-yay. And thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor all week. You really need to go and order one of their Truman startup kits, because that's the one that I absolutely love. Go to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get your kit for $10 delivered right to your door. It's absolutely awesome. You can trust me on that. And listeners, thank you so much for being here again this week. We'll see you on Monday.